I'm excited because Cavaliers in action tonight. They're in Boston, again, nationally televised, which put the Cavs on national television at your own peril. Because the game could be over 10 minutes in, which is what happened last week at this time against the Knicks. It's what happened, obviously, the last time the Cavs were out there. Was that a TNT game against Orlando?
Yes.
That game was over.
On Tuesday, yeah.
They have just been absolutely dominant. I got to go. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have an 8-game win streak?
Correct.
Did I get all the W's right there in a row? So they're going for 9 in a row. I asked the question earlier in the week, how big of a game is this going to be? But maybe more importantly, what kind of mind games could these coaches be playing tonight? We already saw injury report for the Boston Celtics yesterday that came out, and it was Holiday questionable and Jaylen Brown questionable. Now, he did not play in the second game in a back-to-back that they had, which was their loss against Detroit. So he's questionable. Cornette has been added with questionable with personal reasons. So, Tom, mind games tonight, or do you think we'll see the best of both these teams?
I think we see best on best.
I hope so.
I think they both go full go. Yeah, and it's nice to not see any top Cavaliers names on the injury report for the first time in a few weeks.
Yes.
Right? Garland will be back. I'm with you, Anthony, though. I think there will be some mind games from a strategic standpoint, from a X's and O's standpoint. I think we saw when the Celtics were here, it was about 3 weeks ago or so, right? They got the Cavs into some bad defensive matchups with some switches, especially with Porzingis. And so I think we'll see a different attack, especially defensively, from Kenny Atkinson. I don't think you want to show too many of your cards, though, because this is obviously probably the team you're going to run into at some point in late May, early June. But I do think there are some mind games. I do think there will be some trash talk. I think that's all good and healthy, and I'm looking forward to tonight.
I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks just have not. I know they just got Mitchell Robinson back, but they have not held their end of the bargain when it comes to this. And they made their big moves, and they've been really good offensively this year. But even the Cavs throttled them last time out. The Celtics pretty much handled them last time out.
I'll tell you who still scares me are the Milwaukee Bucks. And I watched
I watched
a little bit of them last night. A healthy Giannis. And because of Dame and what he can do and how quickly he can get going, you know, much like Steph Curry, who I think made, 12 threes last night?
Yeah, 56
points. You know, that Lillard-Giannis combination, which we really haven't seen at full strength for very long, is still worrisome to me.
Well, I want to know from the fans, 216-474-0092, how much stock are you putting into tonight? How big of a game is this for the Cavs? Because you're going on the road. You got DeAndre Hunter. Now, we'll never know, even if they would have beaten the Celtics the last time out. Supposedly, they were already working on the framework of a DeAndre Hunter deal. So I don't think I don't think losing that game is why you went and got DeAndre Hunter. But anybody that watched that game knew that just putting your playoff hopes, your championship hopes on your small guards and your small wing, which was Max Strus at the time, that was not going to bode well for you. They needed to make a move. And DeAndre Hunter, Tom, has been a seamless fit for the basketball team right now.
And we thought so. And especially when you talked about the Ty Jerome connection, right, that they won a championship together with the Cavaliers of Virginia a few years ago. And we knew what a good guy he was. And obviously, you know, Cavs fans have watched him kind of, you know, hurt Cleveland over the years with the way he plays. I'm really interested in Anthony. You and I talked about this yesterday off the air. I'm really interested to see DeAndre Hunter D up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I'm really interested to see Kenny Atkinson kind of throw those waves of forwards at those two guys, which you haven't had that luxury before. Now you've got Hunter. Now you've got Okoro. Now you've got Dean Wade, who you can use in a multitude of defensive assignments, whether it's on Al Horford or trying to check one of those wings every once in a while. You know, everybody's got six fouls to use, and you might as well use a few of them on those guys. Make it real tough on them. I think from a confidence standpoint, Anthony, what I'm looking at is the Cavs are going to have to learn how to win in Boston, because that's going to be the path to the finals, right? You're going to have to figure out how to win there, you know, play through that parquet and the mystique and the ghosts and Larry Bird and all the other things and the banners hanging from the ceiling. So I think from a confidence level, just getting a win there, playing well there tonight, I think is very important.
So you don't think just having home court advantage is going to be enough?
It's not enough. It's the playoffs. You guys know how it goes, right? How many times have... what does LeBron always talk about, right? A series doesn't start until somebody loses on the other one's home court. Happens all the time, right? We saw it last year. We saw lopsided games in the playoffs, you know, whether you were home or you were away. I mean, you know, the Cavs played well at home, didn't they, for the most part? Got hammered in Orlando by, you know, 35 points, whatever, the worst playoff loss in franchise history. Things happen on the road. So I think it's very important for the Cavs to go to Boston, feel good about the way they play tonight, and hopefully carry that forward into the playoffs.
What I absolutely love is that with DeAndre Hunter, he is somebody that's not going to get played right off the floor. You know, Okoro, unfortunately, because of the offensive limitations, he's someone who gets played off the floor. Strus has been somebody that he's a streak player. So when he's on, you know, he can win you a playoff game. He also is a guy that can get played off the floor if he's not hitting, and then they are attacking him defensively. They just got too much size for
Sam
him.
Sam Merrill falls under that
Merrill's
same thing,
another
right?
one.
Yeah, exactly.
So. But fortunately, now with DeAndre Hunter, I love that they can come at you in waves, and if they can somehow, I almost want to not play Dean Wade the rest of the year and just save him for the playoffs.
Bubble wrap him, I'm with
right.
you.
Yeah, can they package
He's
him
valuable.
Up? Because you see, and the records, the numbers, if you believe all those analytical numbers, they show you that when that dude is on the floor, the Cavs win games. They just simply win games.
Changer, yeah, no question.
So that is what I'm interested in. You know, we're looking for, look, bulletin board material is great. Owen put together a whole montage yesterday when it comes to bulletin board material. Now, obviously, still to this day, Boston Celtics are the Vegas favorites in the Eastern Conference and the NBA. Even though they've been kind of treating the regular season with a chill mode, to quote LeBron, a casual flair to it. Brian Scalabrine sees all the Celtics games, and he was asked on WEEI, the afternoon show yesterday, what kind of team it takes to actually beat the Boston Celtics in a series, and listen to how he dismisses the Cavs.
And Oklahoma City does scare me because they got real individual defenders, real. Like, those guys really guard, and they have shot blocking now with both Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein. So that's a legit team. Jokic is always a problem, but I don't see, like, the Clevelands or any, like, how could those teams beat us? Like, that would be, I know they got DeAndre Hunter, but he'll be on, we're talking about Jaylen Brown on Darius Garland for four straight games, and that's not going to work out for us. I feel like that's our advantage.
I mean, he's just dismissing the opportunity of the Cavs. And I'm like, man, the Cavs are a different team this year. Obviously, it's more than just Kenny Atkinson. You got Ty Jerome, where there's almost no drop-off when you go to the bench in the backcourt. It feels like the Cavs are not the same team that he just described.
He's trying to convince himself that the Celtics belong in another tier, because I was on his SiriusXM show last week with Frank Isola and Scalabrine, who had wonderful things to say about the Cavs. And so I don't know if he was just trying to make me feel good as a semi-retirement president or whatever the case may have been. But Scalabrine was high on the Cavs. And so to hear him talk this way yesterday, now granted, he's on the home station. I know he's one of their broadcasters. And, you know, he proudly wore the Celtics jersey for a minute or two. So he feels that way. Now, I disagree with him wholly. And I think if you ask the Celtics on a man-by-man basis, they would tell you that this Cavaliers team is scary. And let's not forget that the Cavs team that played them in the playoffs last year, which was Donovan Mitchell on one leg
yeah.
and Jared Allen holding his ribs on the sideline, and they still gave him a good series. Now, I know it was a gentleman's sweep. It was a five-game series. But the Cavs played them hard, and I expect them to play them hard tonight and every game going forward.
Well, what was really good to see at the end of that series, by the end, is it felt like
Evan Mobley
had figured things out.
Totally.
And he was attacking Al Horford. Now, I don't know what happened last time we played. He seems scared again. Like, they do have a knack of all five defenders kind of getting their forearms into you. Those lobs are not as available. They know. They got wily vets. I mean, they got guards. At times, Holiday would defend Evan Mobley and look comfortably.
Anybody,
comfortable
Derek White
doing so.
Would take on any of those assignments
yeah.
as well. I'm with you, though, Anthony. That's a great point you made. I think that final game in Boston was a real changing moment for Evan Mobley, right? It seemed like it really gave him the momentum going into the summer to become the kind of player that we watched over the first 3 years and said, dude, take the ball to the basket, grab the rebound, take it end to end. You can make plays. I also think that we forget sometimes that Evan Mobley is 23 years old, and this would technically be his rookie year in the NBA had he decided to stay at USC for a couple of more years. So I'm with you. And I, you know, again, they're deep. The Cavs are deep. I am always impressed with the way the Celtics continually find the open man, continually find the defensive weakness of the other team. They do a really nice job on that. I'm not a big Mazzullo fan, but again, he's a coach when you talk to the players, tons of respect.
Why are you not a fan?
Of Mazzullo?
Oh, I got to hear this.
He's just, you know, he's one of those coaches, unless you're part of kind of the hometown media group, you get the short answer. You kind of get the dismissive stare.
Doesn't it seem, Tom, like he's doing a Greg Popovich impression?
Trying to be, yeah. And listen, there was a point last year we thought he was going to get fired, right? I mean, he was on the hot seat in Boston, which is, you're on the hot seat from the moment you walk in the door there, whether you're with the Red Sox, the Patriots, or the Celtics, just the way the city operates. But I like the man. I don't know if he's a great coach or not, but he's certainly getting the job done.
Yeah, Tatum has played excellent lately, and the better he plays, very interesting. The Cavs last time out, they're like, "Hey, we are gonna force. We're okay if he's picking on our guys because he's gonna take bad shots. He's gonna take bad twos, and his 3-point shooting is down. He's down to 35%, but he is impacting games in different ways. He's taken a little bit of a step forward.
He's playing a smarter game. I'm with you. Yes. He's also not getting away with that off-arm kind of clear out that he does. You know, that's the way he kind of gets separation a lot of times. He's been called for that this year more than
Pritchard's. Pritchard's move, too, off the bench, man. It is a killer watching bench guys get that availability. All right.